Yeah, I guess Ilias and I still haven't figured out when the homework session is going to be, but we're working on it. And you'll hear from us. I won't be handing out any new homework today because stuff that's already handed out hasn't been done. Okay, so next week, Wooden will be talking about the continuum hypothesis Monday through Wednesday. Both classes are going to meet as usual. And the week from today in this class, the warm-up act for Hugh Wooden will be Vera Ushava. 2 weeks from today is the workshop, no classes. I can't think 3 weeks ahead, so I don't know what's happening after that. Okay, now, I have not yet demonstrated that I'm capable of giving a proof, so I intend to do that today. I want to prove a theorem which I stated in the first lecture regarding, the fourth lecture regarding changes in topology. But before I get into that, let's do a review of lecture one, of certain facts from lecture one. So this is the first lecture, but just topology and classical descriptive set theory before we got into groups and equivalence relations. So here's our notation. I'm going to say X tau will be a Polar space, so that means tau is the topology. And we're going to want to put a new, finer, and larger Polish topology, T on X. So always be using that notation, right? Greek is old, Roman is new. And here, to use the numbering system from the first class, corollary 1.5, by the way, I don't expect you to know my numbers, but you may have notes, and also there are notes available on the web, but only available from certain PCs. The one that Velichkovich is always sitting in front of is the one that works. Okay, anyway, corollary 1.5, X tau Polish, Y subset of X of Borel set, there is a topology T on X such that three things happen. First, T is finer than tau. Secondly, T is Polish. And third, Y is T open. And as I also pointed out the first class, it's necessary to assume Y is Borel. Any set that can be made open in a finer Polish topology is Borel. Also, let me remark that T and tau, although different topologies, must necessarily have the same Borel structure. Now, another fact that I stated in the first class but didn't bother giving a number to is that if I take a countable collection of Borel sets and look at the consider that a basis, look at the topology it generates, may or may not be Polish, but for almost every countable collection, as for a CUB set of countable collections, the space you get is going to be Polish, so let me make it official. And since today is the fifth lecture, this will be lemma 5.1, X, a Polish space, B, I, I guess I'm going to use script regular letters for sets and script letters for collections of sets like a basis. So script B, I, a countable collection of Borel sets with B, I, subset bi plus 1, so you're not getting larger. If each bi is a basis for a Polish topology, so is the union of the bi's. Okay, that's the end of the review of lecture one. Now let's say we got a group action. G is Polish, X is again a Polish space, and this is a continuous action. And I take some subset Y of X, Borel, and well, that theorem applies, the corollary applies. I can make the topology larger and make Y open. But the problem is when you change the topology, A may not be continuous. So the issue is, can we enlarge the topology and make this happen and at the same time preserve the continuity of the action? Well, for an arbitrary Borel set, the answer is no. But here's the... main theorem I want to talk about. Which in the numbering from the fourth lecture is 4.5. Says let G be a Polish group. X a Polish space. X taw a Polish space. A taw continuous action. Oh, I should bring up something else here. Remember the. As I pointed out last time, there's only one topology on G, which has the right Borel structure. So we're never going to worry about changing the topology on G, but we'll just be changing it on X. Okay, so I'll be talking about topologies on X, but what that means when I say taw continuous, I mean the taw topology here and the product topology here, where taw is on X and the one and only topology on G. A little abuse of the language there, okay. So this is a taw continuous action, and let Y be Borel and A invariant. There is a topology T on X such that. Okay, we got four things happening now. The first three is copy over. T is finer than taw. T is Polish. Y is T open. And finally, A is continuous. With respect to the new topology T. Okay, so that's the analog of 1.5 for group actions. In fact, if this is a trivial action where the orbits are points, then this is literally 1.5. As I did point out in the last time I spoke, it's not true for arbitrary Borel sets. So. This assumption is necessary, or at least something is necessary beyond Borel. Okay, well, that's my review of the first and the fourth class. And the rest of today I want to spend proving the main theorem. So I'm going to be proving this. Okay, but before I get into that proof of the main theorem, I have to digress for a moment. And I want to talk about something called Vought transforms. Okay, now, let's, okay, we'll fix our GXA, but for now there's only one topology on X. For this digression on Vought transforms, we're not going to change the topology. Okay, and definition, B is a subset of X, U is a subset of U, an open subset of G. I'm going to define some new point sets in the space X. Okay, first, B superscript triangle U. I guess I should act like a logician and treat category as a quantifier. This is all X in X, such that for a non-meager in U set of G's, G dot X is in B. I think I defined this last time, but anyway, by G dot X, I just mean the action applied to G and X. I'll be using the dot notation. Okay, so a non-meager number of group elements move X into B. And, of course, there's a Polish topology, so bare category makes sense. B star U is the same thing, except we say co-meager in U. And we'll let B superscript triangle be B superscript triangle G. G itself is, of course, open, and same for the star. Okay. So that's the definition of Vought transform. And there are zillions of properties that follow pretty easily from category, you know, like relationship between meager and co-meager and countable additivity and stuff. And in my book, there's a page full of properties of the Vought transform. The ones I'm going to list in the next lemma are the ones that are the properties of the Vought transform. Oh, these things are called Vought transforms, by the way. And the properties I'm going to list in the next lemma are going to be those that are needed to prove the main theorem and no others. So it'll be a short list. B will be Borel. U and V subsets of G and open, and G a member of G. Now here's all the properties we need. First, B triangle U is Borel. Is Borel. Now, here's really the only property that actually uses the fact that B is Borel, but for our purposes, the only sets I care about are Borel sets, so I listed it in the hypothesis. But for the rest of the properties I'm going to list, all we really need is the bare property, so bare category behaves. Okay, B, if B is invariant, B is equal to B triangle. C, the complement of B star U is X minus B triangle U, B, B star U is a subset of B triangle U, E. If U is a subset of V, then B triangle U is a subset of V triangle V. F, same hypothesis, if U is a subset of V, then B star, backwards, B star V is a subset of B star U. G, B triangle UG, that's an open set in the group, right, is G inverse dot B triangle U. Okay, so this is a subset of X. I apply the group element to every subset of X that gives, to every point in that subset. And that gives me a new set. So I think that's all I need. It's inevitable that I missed one, though. Okay, now, as far as the proof goes, A is exercise 1 on homework 4. Actually, exercise 1 was to prove this level by level, that if B is sigma 0 alpha, then saying for non-meager many things in B, blah, that's also sigma 0 alpha. And B through G are obvious. Now, they're not necessarily obvious in real time, especially if you're not used to thinking about this sort of thing. B is in if X is in here, that means for co-meager many things you get into V, therefore for non-meager many. If for co-meager many G's, G dot X is in here in B, then for non-meager many G's.
Well, the part where non-meager means there's a non-meager sense.
This means that the set of G, G dot X is in B, is non-meager in U. Wait. Yes. So that's right. So if there are if X is in here, that means there's co-meager many G's that work. Therefore, there are non-meager many G's that work, and X is in here, right?
Oh, so the non-meager means that you're allowed to have more.
No. If a set of G's is co-meager, then it's also non-meager, right? Co-meager implies non-meager.
Oh, non-meager.
Now you got me worried. that's right. Okay, so let's see. I was just saying it was all obvious. It is. I mean, this one you might have to think about it for a few months to see it was obvious. But it is. It's just elementary properties of category. Okay, now I need one further. Result about the Vaught transform, which is not obvious, but easy. How am I going to do this? I got to preserve this stuff, too. So that's why it's getting crowded in the board. Okay, lemma 5.3 script A is a basis for the group. And suppose that G dot X is in B triangle U, then there exists a V and W in the basis such that three things happen. G is in W, X is in B triangle V, and V W inverse, right? These are two subsets of the group. So that means we multiply everything in this subset by everything in that subset. That's a new subset of the group that has to be a subset of U. Okay. Proof. G dot X is in B triangle U implies that, now we apply G inverse to both sides, right? X is in G inverse B triangle U, which is by G B triangle U G. Okay, now let's consider the set of all H in the open neighborhood UG. H dot X is in B. Now, since that, this means, by definition of Vought transform, this is non-meager. What does it mean to say X is in that set for a non-meager set of H's, H dot X is in B? Well, it's Borel, so has the Bayer property. That means it's co-meager in a neighborhood. So there is a neighborhood V naught, which is a subset of UG, and this set is co-meager in V naught. What does it mean to say this set is co-meager in V naught? Well, let's do it this way. This is non-meager in UG. Okay, now what does it mean to say that's non-meager? That means X is in B star V naught. Okay, now V naught G is a subset V naught G inverse is a subset of U, so there are V W in the basis. V a subset of V naught G in W, and V W inverse is a subset of U, of U. That's just the fact that the group operation in inverse is this continuous. Okay, so we found our V and W, and we've proved A and C. All that remains to be proved is B. since V is a subset of V0 by 5.2 V and F, we have that D star V naught is a subset of D star V, subset of D triangle V. Yeah, it's a good thing I didn't let Bura stop me out of this. D star. Yeah, that's right, isn't it? D and F. Yeah, so that's what we want to prove. D, X, X is in. X is in here, so it's in here. Okay. No. Backwards. Think about if the set of G's is co-meager in V, it's also co-meager in U. Okay, well that ends my digression on Vought transforms, unless there's questions. And now I just want to go prove the main theorem. Okay, and I'll be using this lemma over and over again, and I'll be using part G about 87 times, but I don't need the proof. Here's our setup. We're given X, tau, Y, G, A, and I've got to define a new topology T which satisfies the properties of that theorem. Okay, so let's script A and script D. Let's let script A be a countable basis for the Polish group G. And for technical reasons, I want to put the group itself into the basis. Allowed to do that. And let's let script D be a countable basis for the old topology. Okay, and let's let script B be a Boolean algebra of Borel subsets of X Borel with the only topology we got so far, namely Taw, and Boolean algebra just means it's a collection of sets closed under finite intersection, union, and complement. Okay, satisfying the following four properties. First of all, Y, the set we want to make open, is in the Boolean algebra B. Second, the basis for the old topology is a subset of B. Third, we want a closure property on B besides finite union and intersection. Namely, for any ordinary B in script B and for any U in script A, B superscript triangle U is in script B. So it's closed under Vaught transforms, but not by closed under the triangle transform, not the star, and not for arbitrary open subsets of the group, but just for this countable basis A. And for the topology T prime generated by the basis B, script B is Polish. Now, how do we know we can do it? Well, this is possible first of all, we've got to know that this thing is a Borel set. That's possible by part A. Okay, so all we want, one, if we ignore 4, it just says B is a countable collection of Borel sets with enough closure properties. Got some stuff in, closed under Boolean operations, closed under this. Well, but if it's sufficiently closed, then it will give us a Polish topology. So there exists such a countable collection B. In fact, almost every countable collection B of Borel subsets will work. Okay, so let's fix this script B and T prime. Okay, now regarding the main theorem, T prime is clearly finer than Taw, it's Polish, Y is T open, it's got everything except D, so if D holds, we're done. Unfortunately, D does not hold in general, and it's not too hard to see that it doesn't hold. For example, suppose the group G is connected, then in a continuous action, every orbit would have to be connected. Well, this T prime topology has a Clopin basis. Can't possibly work. So in general, the action is not going to be continuous with respect to this topology. Okay, so there is a little trick, but now that I've used this lemma, I can erase it. Instead of using T prime, we're going to pass to a topology which is a little bit smaller, I don't know about a little bit, but which is smaller than T prime, and that's going to be our topology T that satisfies the theorem. So let's let C be all sets of the form B triangle U, such that B is in B, U is in A. And of course, B is a proper subset of C is a proper subset of B by the closure properties of B. And let's let T be the topology on the space X generated by the subbasis C union D. Here's our subbasis. This C and this D. D is the basis for the original topology, Taw. and such of that form. That's our sub-basis. And what I have to prove is that this T works. Put that in the future tense. Right? We will show that this T sinus. Okay, so we got to prove those four things, A through B. Now, okay, we'll start with the easy ones. Since D is in the subbasis, T is finer than Ta. Right, this is a basis for Ta, we put it into the subbasis of T. Other one, C. Well, let's see. Y is Y triangle by one of these things, that's B. And Y triangle is Y triangle G. That's why I put G into the basis. And this is in C. Right? Because Y is in B, and okay, therefore this is in C. So this is open. Okay, so we've taken care of the two easy parts, A and C. Now we'll go to the in between easy and hard part, the D. Continuous. Okay, now to prove continuity, we must show that the preimage of a T subbasic open set is T is open in G cross X T. Okay, now there's two cases by definition of the subbasis. A T subbasic open set C is open. So there's two cases by definition of the subbasis. C may be in D, the old basis. Case one. And C may be in script C. Now in case one, this is just the fact that A is continuous with respect to the original topology Ta plus T finer than Ta, which we've already proved. So that's our assumption, I hope. Yeah, A is a Ta continuous action. So it's a Ta open set, its preimage is Ta open, and therefore group cross Ta open, and therefore T open. So we come to the interesting case, case two. C is in script C, which means it has that form. This is the other kind of Ta basic open set. Now let me just digress for a second here. Before I prove that, let's note that if we fix the first variable, and consider continuity in the second variable, well, then this is just, this is nothing but 5.2G. All right, let's take a look at that. G naught inverse, okay, take that sub-basic open set. Is D triangle UG, which is the union of V and A, V a subset of UG, D triangle V. I knew I forgot one of the properties. Good thing this isn't part of the real proof. It's just a digression. But you can see if there's a non-meager many G's in here, then there's non-meager many in some basic open subset. So what are we saying? The pre-image of a sub-basic open set is a countable union of sub-basic open sets. Okay, well that shows it's continuous in the second variable, which is nice. But we got to show it's continuous in both variables. That's the idea, that we got to get a little more complicated to handle both variables. Okay, back to the real proof. I got this set, and I have to show its pre-image as a subset of G cross X is open. So let's let G0, X0 in G cross X be such that G0 dot X0 is in B triangle U. And to show this, the pre-image is open, I just got to cover this by an open set in the pre-image, right? So it will suffice to show that there exists a W in script A, and there exists a T open N such that three things happen. G0 is in W, X0 is in N, and three, for all G in W, for all X in N, G dot X is in B triangle U. Okay, because then W cross N will be the open set witnessing what we need. Okay, so this is enough to prove this. Okay, now what can I erase? Show this by lemma 5.3. Okay, that lemma. Well, we've got the hypothesis G dot dot X naught is in B triangle U. So there exists V W in the basis, with satisfying that conclusion, G naught in W, X naught in B triangle V, V W inverse subset of U. Okay, so we have one holds. You know, we found our V and we found our W, and one holds. Now let's let N be B triangle V. This is T open. In fact, it's in one of the sub-basic open sets, C. Okay, so we've found our T open set N, and two holds. Okay, so we have to prove three. Okay, so let's let G in W and X in B triangle V, and I have to prove G dot X is in here. Now this gets so messy that I never do it without notes, but here we go. V G inverse is a subset of V W inverse, not just because G is in W, and that's a subset of U, because of that fact. So, multiplying by G on the right, we get V is a subset of UG. So now by 5.2 E and G, part G, not group element G. Okay, we've got these two open sets, and one's a subset of the other, so we get B triangle V is a subset of B triangle UG. That's part E. And now part G tells us that that's G inverse applied to B triangle U. Okay. So X is in N, X is in B triangle V, which is a subset of G inverse B triangle U. Hence, G dot X, multiplying by G on the left, or actually applying the action, G dot X is in B triangle U. That's what has to be proved, right? Okay, so that completes the proof that this action is continuous with respect to the new topology. Okay, we proved A, B, C. We proved A, C, and D. All that's left is B. Okay, T is Polish. Now, by a theorem from the first day of, from the first class, see if I can find the number somewhere, corollary 1.2. Okay, a topological space is Polish if and only if it's T1, second countable, regular, and strong choqué. Okay, so to show T is Polish, we'll have to prove these four facts. Now, capital T1, frichet. Points are closed. Okay, now, since T is finer than Ta, which is something we've already proved, that's part A, T is T1, since Ta was T1. Okay, and C union D is a countable subbasis. So T is second countable. Okay, so we get T1 and second countable for nothing, basically. And so there's two real things that have to be proved. Okay, regular and strong choqué. XT is regular. XT is strong choqué. And then we'll have, once these two things are done, we'll have completed the proof of the main theorem. So that's what remains to be proved. We'll need that. Prove that the new topology is regular. Now let me remind you of the definition. A regular, that means any neighborhood of a point contains a closed neighborhood. Okay, so we must show that for any x in x and any T open C, let me get the right. For any point x0 in X and any T open set, any T open neighborhood C contains a T closed neighborhood of X. And just by general nonsense, it's enough to prove this. For subbasic open set C, then it would automatically hold for all open sets. So again, we've got two cases. Case one, C is in D, D is the Ta basis, And case two, C is in C. I may have erased all that stuff. So that saying C is in C means C is B triangle U, sum B in script B, U in A. Okay, because the sub-basis was D union C. Now in case one, it follows from the fact that TAW, the original topology, is regular, and the T closure is smaller than the TAW closure. So if it's in D, well, we can find a T basic open neighborhood whose closure is inside. And this topology is finer, so the closed sets are smaller. There's nothing to do there. So we got the interesting case. Case two. C has that form B triangle U. Okay, now. X naught is in the triangle U. That means E dot X naught is in B triangle U. E is the group identity. Okay, and now we're going to apply lemma 5.3, where the little g is the identity element of the group. So by 5.3, there exists a V1 and W1 in A with E in W1, X naught in B triangle V1, and V1 W1 inverse subset of U. Okay, now again, since X naught is in here, so is E times it. So again, E times X naught is in B triangle V1. So applying 5.3 again, so this is my G and this is my U, and we apply 5.3, there exists a V2, W2 in A, in the subbasis, in the basis for the group, such that E is in W2, X naught is in B triangle V2 and V2 W2 is in V. W2 inverse is a subset of V1. Okay, now let's let W in A, W is not empty, just in case we put the empty set in the basis. Let W be a non-empty basic open set with the property that W is a subset of W1 inverse intersect W2. Okay, now notice that E, these are both open sets and E is in both of them, so their intersection is non-empty, so we can find this non-empty open set in the intersection. B triangle V2 is T open because it's in the subbasis, and X naught is in there. Oops. Here we go. Okay, now remember what I'm trying to prove. We're trying to prove regularity. So I got to show there's a neighborhood of X naught whose closure is contained in this neighborhood. This is my candidate. This is the neighborhood which is going to witness regularity. Okay, so we need only show that the T closure of B triangle V2 is contained in B triangle U. And that would establish regularity for the given point X naught and the neighborhood B triangle U. So this is what's coming. Let's let F be, this gets complicated, B triangle V1 star W. Finally use the star transform here. Okay, now by 5.2C, the complement of F is, well, it's X minus B triangle V1 star W. And the complement of anything star is X minus anything triangle. The complement is this, which is in C. So let's check. C is by definition all elements of B triangle elements of A. Well, W is in A. Why is this in B? Because it's the closure properties of B. B is a Boolean algebra, so closed under complements. Regular B was taken to be in script B, and it's closed under the Vaught transform. So just by the closure properties, we see that X minus F is in C. So X minus F is T open. Hence, F is T closed. Okay, so we need only show this to complete the proof. We need only show that that closed set is bigger than this and smaller than that. B triangle V2 is a subset of F, which is a subset of B triangle U. Okay, if we do that, we're done. Okay, so there's two inclusions here. I'm going to prove each of them. I need this. Okay, so the first inclusion, B triangle V2 is a subset of F. Let's prove that. Okay, let's let X be a point in B triangle V2, and let's let G be an arbitrary element of W. Another complicated calculation. V2, G inverse, is a subset of V2, W inverse, because G is a member of W, which is a subset of V2, W2 inverse, because W is a subset of W2, which is a subset of V1, because we were using lemma 5.3 to make that happen. Somewhere it should say that. Here it is. V2 W2 inverse is a subset of V1. Okay, so V2, applying G to both sides, to the, on the right, V2 is a subset of V1 G. Now we again use 5.2. 5.2 E and G. We have B triangle V2 is a subset by part E, that's a subset of B triangle V1 G. And now by part G, where U is now called V1, this is equal to G inverse B triangle U, V1. Okay, we set X is in here. So X is in G inverse B triangle V1. Hence, G dot X is in B triangle V. V1, thank you. Now, let's notice. For all G in W, G was arbitrary. Hence, for co-meager many, application of the bare category theorem here, for co-meager many G in W, G dot X is in B triangle V1. And now by definition of the star transform, what that means is X is in B triangle V1, whole thing star W, which I hope is F. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Okay, so that's one implication. And run out of space. Yeah, I'm going to have to erase this. It's the only place I... What? Oh. Well, yeah, okay. Yeah, but the point is people may be copying this. It's, I can lift one of these. Okay, we have to show this, right? And I've shown the first implication. So now let's show the second one. Okay, let's let X be an F, which is this. Now, what does this mean by definition of star? This means for co-meager many G in W, G dot X is in B triangle V. So in particular, for some G, that works. So let G naught in W be such that G naught dot X is in B triangle. That should be BV1. V1. Now, one last and final time, we're going to use 5.2G. Then I can erase it. Okay, by 5.2G, this says X is in G naught inverse dot B triangle V1, which is B triangle V1 G naught. Okay, so I've taken an arbitrary element of F, shown it's in here. So we've shown that F is a subset of B triangle V1 G naught. Okay, V1 G0 is a subset of V1 W, because G0 is in W, which is a subset of V1 W1 inverse. Which is a subset of U, which is also the way they were chosen using 5.3. That's somewhere here. Here it is. Hence, by 5.2e, B triangle V1 G0 is a subset of B triangle U. So F is a subset of B triangle U. And we've proved this, and therefore proved regularity. What did I?
You're saying that you're choosing the G0.
Right.
Well, that's okay. But it's saying not to.
Did I?
You cannot play with F because that's that you can't play that without D1 to 0 from the middle board.
Is that Is that okay? I don't, let's see, what's...
You see the B delta of U1 T naught, and then you move back to B delta U straight away. Don't do anything.
Right.
You see, if that gets the G naught out of the formula, there you are.
Okay, yeah, okay. Yeah. Okay, combining this and this. Okay, yeah, you're right. I got a little floppy there. I make any other mistakes before I erase this whole mess and start talking about shell K games. Okay, your last chance to object before I erase this. Yes. What the... The original base, how are you going to get it to be finer than the original topology? There may be, you're right. There's a way to eliminate it. It would require a little argument.
Yeah.
Then I'd have to justify that it was finer. You're right. An old open set can be as a union of things. So you just got to make sure B contains enough. You would have to put it in. Yeah, it's got to go into B. Yeah, you're right. In fact, I noticed that I actually have a paper that noticed that, and so you don't need to put D in there. But I guess I forgot it as I was preparing for class. Okay, we don't need this. I can at last erase these two things. Okay, now there's one thing left to prove, and that's that this new topology is strong Schottky. Okay, so let me let me remind you, I did define this on the first class, but you got a two-player game of perfect information. My notation is going to be a little different. So xi is a point in the space x, ni, mi are t open. T, remember, is the new topology. The thing we're trying to prove is Polish. And xi is in mi, which is a subset of ni. Okay, so player one has to play an open set and a point in it. Two plays a smaller set that covers that point. One plays a set smaller than this. Xi is an MI, a subset of MI. Okay, so they keep playing smaller sets. Two has to cover the point played by one. Those are open sets. And two wins. if and only if the intersection of the MIs is not equal to zero. Okay, anybody remember this game? Okay, so I have to show that 2 has a winning strategy. That's the show, the game. It's a strong showcase space if 2 has a winning strategy in the game. So I want to first, we'll define the strategy, and then prove it's a winning strategy. Okay, so I'm going to tell you how to play this game. But before I do, let's recall that we have 3 topologies on X, tau, T, T prime. And this is the original Polish topology, the one given by script B, which is Polish, but the group isn't continuous. And this one in between, which we're trying to show is Polish. And we've showed everything. We've showed the action is continuous with respect to this, and it's finer than tau, and we've shown regularity, shown everything except strong showcaseness. Okay, so now let's let D prime be a complete metric on X compatible with T prime, which is Polish, so it's got a complete metric. And let's let DG be a complete metric on the group with respect to the one and only topology on the group. And we'll let script E be the canonical T basis, that is finite intersections from C union D. Okay, now, 2 is only required to play open sets, but in fact, I'm always going to have them play a member of this basis, not any old open set. Okay, now, on move I, 2 plays his MI in E and also chooses BI in script B and UI in script A. Now, this is not part of the game. It's not a move in the game. 2 is just keeping track of this information on the side, which will help him make later moves. So at step I, 1 will choose his M and also the B and the U. And the strategy calls for 2 to play an element to choose an element of E cross B cross A satisfying 7 conditions. So I'll write them down and try to explain them at the same time. First condition is that XI is in MI. And the second is that the T closure of MI is a subset of NI. Now, this guarantees that MI is a legal move, but it's a little more than that. To be legal, all we need is that MI is a subset, but we're going to make the closure be in there. Okay, 3 and 4 says that the T prime closure of bi is a subset of bi minus 1, where b to the negative 1 is the whole space, and the d prime diameter of bi is small, say 1 over I. That's clear what 3 and 4 mean. Remember, T prime is a polar space, so we just got this descending sequence of neighborhoods, and the intersection will contain exactly one point. Now we'll do the same thing for the group. 5, the closure of UI is a subset of UI minus 1, where U minus 1 is the whole group. 6, the DG diameter of UI is less than 1 over I. Okay, so they'll converge down to a unique element of the Polish group. Now, conditions 3 through 6 tell us something about the BIs and UIs, but I haven't connected them at all with the MIs yet. That's condition 7. Okay. MI is a subset of BI triangle UI. Okay, so the strategy will call for 2 to choose an element satisfying these conditions, and what has to be shown is that there is one. Okay, so let's say 1 has played his ith move, and it's 2's turn. Okay, so we're out this far. X naught, N naught. Okay, we go out here to XI, NI minus 1. MI minus 1, XI, NI, and now it's time for player 2 to make his next move. So we're at this stage in the game. And 1 is not, player 2 is also choosing his B's and U's. Okay, so let's assume we're at this stage, and assume that so far 1 to 7 hold, and I've got to show that player 2 can make his next move, can choose an MI, a BI, and a UI, such that 1 through 7 hold. I know I'm over time, but it won't be very long, about 5 minutes. Okay, so let's do it. By 7 of our induction hypothesis, XI is in NI subset of MI minus 1, subset of BI minus 1, triangle UI minus 1. Well, I should say this part is just saying that all the moves are legal, and then